5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
All right, so Matt, I don't know if you know this, but We kind of rent a horse that like we can go take care of and ride and stuff, but it stays at a stable up the road.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that here lately, our horse will only come out of the stables after dark. She's becoming a real nightmare.
God. That was a long setup for
yes, it was.
Weak ass punchline.
Yeah, well, you know.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales.
Right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
All right, good. So we'll say, before we get into it, go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. You can find a list of shows that we're happy to be associated with, and you can find some tips and tricks on podcasting. Also, something new, I don't know if y'all see the cowboy hat I'm wearing, and cowboy hat in quotes, because it says cowboy hat. It's from... They're not a sponsor of the show, but I just wanted to tell y'all about it. It's from Cowboy Revolution Apparel, and they have some of the most comfortable hats that I've ever put on my head. And as Matt can tell you, I'm kind of a hat snob. I know my hats, and they've got some cool shirts and hoodies and tank tops, stuff for men, women, all that stuff. So if you're interested, go check them out. Look in our show notes, and I'll actually put a link that I've got to their website and then a code that'll get you 15% off, just helping out the company. They're a great company. But thought I'd tell y'all, and I like my new cowboy hat. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. It says cowboy hat.
Absolutely. You can't mistake it for being anything but a cowboy hat.
That's right.
But also go check out the sponsors of tonight's show. You know, go in our show notes while you're looking at Cowboy Revolution Apparel. Go down there and find one of the sponsors of the show that have sponsored Graveyard Tales. Use our link, use our code, get you some cool stuff. Matt and I don't do ads for companies that we don't believe in their product.
Right.
If we tell you guys about them, it's because we like their product and we think that you will too. So we're not going to sell you stuff just to sell you stuff. That's not how Matt and I do. We actually believe in the product. So go check out our sponsors. You will help us out tremendously by going and checking out their website and getting you something. Plus you can ask some of our listeners that are in the Facebook group. We don't steer you wrong. I've seen comments in our Facebook group about some of our sponsors and they go, you know what? I tried it. You guys are absolutely right. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not lying to you. But also, while you're on the internet checking out our sponsors and all that, go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales. Sign up to become a patron. We've got multiple different levels and a buttload of back catalog in there. I mean, we got episodes coming out of every orifice, and it's about anything under the sun. All of our levels get a bonus episode a week. Mm-hmm. Our $5 and $10 get the audio and video versions of that episode. Plus, they get the ad-free audio and video versions of the main episode. Then, our $10 a month, they get all of that. Plus, they get our second show, Side Quest, where, and that's just a show where Matt and I are basically just being ourselves, and you're getting to hear what it would be like if you were sitting at home with us, having a drink, and just talking trash.
Right.
Because it's about anything and everything. We'll talk about something that's happened in the news. We'll talk about something that will gross the other one out. We play games. We try to make the other one laugh.
Yeah.
We have done episodes recently on reviews that people have left of stuff, and then talk trash about the people leaving the reviews. It's just fun. And it's something that Matt and I could not do on Graveyard Tales, because we do let ourselves go a little bit and cuss more on there than we do on Graveyard Tales. So just be aware of that, but go check it out. Patreon.com/Graveyard Tales. Sign up. Promise that you are going to find something that you're going to like as far as episode topics that we talk about.
Oh,
and it will keep you busy for hours. And if you know somebody that's a Graveyard Tales fan and they're not a patron, you can gift them a Patreon subscription, which is a great gift.
Yeah, what a cool gift for Father's Day, Mother's Day, any day.
Yeah, exactly. So, Matt, that's all of the housekeeping. I wanted to show you this. I found something neat. Watch your screen, Matt.
Okay.
So I found out how to do headlines, and I thought, I'm going to do this and screw with Matt. So if you're not watching the video, you should, but I found a way to put up on the screen where it, under my name, it says, Adam, the sexy beast that makes Matt sound good.
So, how the heck? See, this, I probably can't do this on my,
I don't know. We'll figure it out for you, and then you can,
what'll be worse is if Adam can do mine, you know,
yes.
He can make stuff appear on mine. Okay.
I don't know that I can, but that would be great if I could. So
Lord of mercy.
On that note, Matt, that's literally all I've got. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
Okay. So, the location we're talking about tonight is, it's been called a hotbed of weird activity,
mm-hmm.
shape-shifting creatures, bizarre geological anomalies, reports of skinwalkers,
yep,
and so many UFO sightings that the area has been nicknamed UFO Alley. Filmmaker Trent Harris told the Deseret News, "You can't throw a rock in southern Utah without hitting somebody who's been abducted."
Oh, I thought, you know, not throw a rock without hitting a UFO.
Yeah, well, that'd be about the same.
True.
Yeah. So tonight, Adam and I are going to take a look at the Uinta Basin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, it's got a lot going on there. And one place in particular that Adam and I have talked about before, that we're going to talk about a little bit more tonight. And I'm sure all of you have heard of this place by now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of really strange occurrences that just, they fall all along the spectrum.
Yeah.
So there's no way that you can pigeonhole the Uinta Basin into, well, this happens there. Oh, really? Well, so does this.
And yeah,
so
that's
does
true.
That. And guess what? This happens too.
Yeah. So, yep.
So, and I would think that with, and to be honest, when we were looking into this, we could talk about all of Utah if we wanted to stay on an extra 2 hours.
Valid point. Yeah.
I mean, there is so much haunted stuff throughout the state of Utah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy, honestly.
And I'm not talking about, oh, this is the most haunted bus stop in Salt Lake. No, I mean, it's like this house in some town, some little town, is haunted as hell. And stuff gets thrown out of windows and furniture moves around and it glows at night. But guess what? So does the neighbor's house.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a skinwalker that lives right between them.
Yeah. I mean, he rents the room in the,
it's the whole state. So we're going to center on the Uinta Basin tonight, but trust me, we're not cutting you short.
Yeah. And we're probably not done with Utah either.
No, not by a long shot. So, and this is one of these areas where I know I say this every show, the history really feeds what's going on, but it absolutely does, because the history may be our key to understanding why this stuff goes on.
Right, right. Now, as we always say, go check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. We got a bunch of sources again this week, just because, like Matt said, there's a little bit of everything that goes on, so we had to source everything. Mm-hmm. And Matt and I have not had the pleasure of going to the Uinta Basin, so we've got to get these stories from people who have and have experienced them firsthand. So bottom of the show notes, you can find our sources. You can keep going. If we didn't cover something that you're like, hey, wait a minute, I thought that, you can keep looking or just wait and we'll probably cover it on another episode. Now, the Uinta Basin, it's located in northeastern Utah and it extends actually slightly into western Colorado. And it's the structural basin within the larger Colorado Plateaus province. The basin itself is bordered by the Wasatch Mountains to the west, the Uinta Mountains to the north, the Tavaputs Plateau to the south, and the Roan Plateau in Colorado to the east. So it's a basin. Now, why is it called the Uinta Basin? Well, because it's a basin.
it's a basin.
It's got all these mountains and plateaus around it that creates a basin. Now, the Uinta Basin covers approximately 7,500 square miles. So it's not a small thing. It's quite large. And the elevations in the basin, they go from anywhere around 5,000 feet to about 10,000 feet above sea level. So there's a 5,000 foot change in elevation throughout the basin. Now, the northern boundary is formed by the Uinta Mountains, like I said, and they contain Utah's highest peak, King's Peak, and it sits at 13,528 feet. So the basin itself has several rivers that drain it out, and that includes the Duchesne and the Green Rivers, which are actually tributaries of the Colorado River. And I probably didn't say Duchesne right, but you know, if you're listening to Graveyard Tales,
I thought it was Duquesne.
It might be. Yeah. I have no idea.
I don't know.
So either the Duquesne or the Duchesne, you can yell at me if you want to, but I mean,
just not real loud.
Just not loud. And I know somebody has already typed something up on X that, well, you didn't say it. Yeah, I know. We go through this every episode. I don't say crap right. Come on now. Now, the Uinta Basin is known for what people call rolling sagebrush plains that are surrounded by mountains in every direction. Now, the basin is kind of a semi-arid climate, and the winters in the basin can be brutally cold. They classify them as severe winters. And like I said, we've not been there, but I have seen shows that happen in Utah during the winter. Mm-hmm. And in areas around the Uinta Basin, people leave during the winter. They go somewhere warmer because it gets so cold and you can't do anything. You're just hunkering down during the winter. But the basin itself was formed primarily during the Laramide Orogeny, which is the late Cretaceous to early Eocene, which is about 70 to 40 million years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been around a long time. And the Laramide Orogeny sounds dirty to me. I just had to say it again because that orogeny, probably again, I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, but that sounds dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, it does a little bit.
So this was a period of mountain building that was caused by shallow subduction of the Farallon Plate beneath North America. So this tectonic activity created the depression that became the Uinta Basin and then had the rims of it uplift into mountains so that all of this subduction and stuff of the tectonic plates created this basin. Now, the basin's sedimentary fill records, the basin's sedimentary fill records marine transgressions. So sea advances and lake conditions and what they call fluvial environments. So river environments. And they say it's got rich organic shales and mudstones that are key for hydrocarbon generation. So if you know anything about the basin, well, first of all, you're probably going, why are you telling me about these organic rich shale deposits? Well, because that area of Utah is known for gas and oil production. Mm-hmm. And why? Well, because there was a giant sea that covered this area many moons ago that laid down the conditions for oil and gas. Yep. So for hydrocarbon generation, as they say. Now, at least two Paleo-Indian culture sites. So this is 12,000 to 8,500 before present have been located in the Uinta Basin. Now, these people, they say, were primarily hunters of the mammoth, bison, and other big game during that time. So they've discovered remnants of these cultures and learned that they were hunters. They hunted down the mammoth when the mammoth were still here. Now, during the Archaic period, that's 8,500 to 2,500 before present, the basin was occupied by Plateau Archaic people. These were gatherers as well as hunters. So this is when they started using more of the plants and stuff there. Now, more recently, people identified with the Fremont culture have occupied the Uinta Basin. So the Fremont culture parallels in time and development with the Anasazi culture, which people will know more. Mm-hmm. They'll know the Anasazi probably just from name. But people of the Fremont culture lived in semi-subterranean shelters that they called kivas, and they were dependent primarily on corn agriculture and hunting of smaller game and fishing. So the Fremont culture, when you think of older cultures, you usually think of houses, mud brick houses in the area and everything. The Fremont people lived in partially dug out houses. So they'd have a little bit on top, but they would dig down. And I think this was probably to deal with the environment. Mm-hmm. If you're underground, you're insulated more.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you think about caves. There's a lot of caves that have a consistent temperature. You mm-hmm. know, it's, you know, roughly in the low 70s.
Yeah.
So you get underground, you know, it protects you from, you know, both types of weather.
And the harsh winters and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, this says that during the ethnohistorical period, so this is AD 1300 to present, the Uinta Basin has been occupied by the Uintaats, which is a band of Utes. So the basin was also occasionally visited by the northern and northwestern Shoshones, and the basin at one time was a rich provider of food and clothing for the Ute Indians.
Man, I haven't been to a Shoshone's in a long time. I love their breakfast bar.
I was wondering if you were going to...
Yeah, you weren't wondering. You knew.
I was like, no, he's not going to do... Oh, he did that. So I mentioned the Utes. So let's talk about the Utes real quick. Now, the Utes are said to be one of the oldest tribes in North America that are, and they're still around today. The Utes of the Uinta Basin hold a deep spiritual connection with their ancestral lands. And they believe that they have always lived in the mountains of present day Utah and Colorado. According to Ute tradition, which I'll talk about more here in a minute, they were brought to the region by their creator God. And after he created the land, animals, and plants, and the Ute people themselves. Now, the Ute spirituality is rooted deeply in the belief that all living things possess supernatural powers. Powers can be obtained through dreams, visions, or contact with mythical beings. So this is kind of what we've talked about before that I want to do an episode on, but panpsychism, where all things have a consciousness.
Yeah.
Where animals, rocks, trees, everything has a consciousness. And the Ute believe that all living things possess supernatural powers. You just have to harness them in some way.
Hey, Adam. Let's take a minute and talk about one of tonight's sponsors, MeUndies. Now, you and I have been wearing MeUndies for a while, and they're fantastic. I mean, I can't even begin to describe how amazing MeUndies are. And you're going, Matt, you're talking about underwear. Listen, when you have underwear that is this soft and this comfortable and this cool looking, you talk about it too.
Yeah.
But you know, I can't keep all this to myself, you know, and Amanda didn't want me to, so she's got MeUndies as well. And I know Ashley's got some too.
Yep.
But the undies that she has, she's got the bralettes and she absolutely loves it. In fact, she's at the gym right now and she was wearing it when she left the house. So
there you
I
go.
Know. It's so comfortable, she wants to work out in it.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if ladies, if you want to up your underwear game, you need to go check out MeUndies.
That's right. And like you said, Ashley is the same way. And I fell in love with them, and I told Ashley she had to try them. So now me, Ashley, and Michael all have MeUndies. And I've already replaced my whole underwear drawer, and they're working on replacing theirs as well.
Yep.
But they've got a style for everyone. They've got the all-black classics, and then they've got up to the fun and expressive print. So they've got a look for everyone, and they come in sizes extra small to 4XL. So guaranteed, there'll be a cut for your body type. And Matt was right. They have unmatched comfort. They have their signature softer than soft ultramodal fabric. It's breathable, stretchy, and so comfortable. And it makes it ideal for all day wear. This may sound like a weird thing to say about underwear, but I forget I'm wearing underwear.
Absolutely.
Because you don't feel it riding up. You don't feel it bunching. And even though it's supporting you, you don't notice it.
And one thing that's cool, because Adam likes them a little shorter. I like the long-legged boxer briefs, so mine come down a lot farther. And this summer, Amanda goes, you need to start wearing shorts that show off your legs and quit wearing these shorts that go all the way down to your knee.
Yeah.
So I complied, but I noticed my underwear is longer than my shorts. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Because my MeUndies are so cool
Yep.
That I can match them to my shorts. So if they poke out the bottom, I mean, all go. People are seeing are my cool MeUndies.
Yeah, that's right. And you think we're just saying this, but we had a listener comment on our Facebook page and said, Adam and Matt, y'all were 100% right. I tried the MeUndies and I am in love. They are so comfortable. So if you want to get some very, very soft underwear that are sustainably sourced from materials that and work with partners that care for their workers, then you've got to check out our code at MeUndies. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies. So you can support our show by going to MeUndies.com/graveyard and use our code GRAVEYARD, GRAVEYARD, and get 20% off your first order plus free shipping. Now, that's case sensitive. So use all lowercase when you put in our code.
Yep, that's all lowercase letters at MeUndies.com/graveyard and enter our code lowercase GRAVEYARD for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
So, since they believe that, let's look at a few animals and the roles that they play in Ute folklore. So, they believe that the wolf is the creator figure, a cultural hero, and a symbol of wisdom and balance. The bear is a sacred teacher of the bear dance, and it embodies strength and renewal. And I didn't go into the bear dance in my notes, but the bear dance is what they do in spring when the bears start coming out of their hibernation as kind of a rebirth ritual. Yeah, I know. I would actually like to see it because they did say that they mimic some of the moves of the bear.
Well, yeah. So I, you know,
yeah, the walking and the tie wearing, the picnic basket stealing.
That's right.
Now, the coyote, as in a lot of other Native American cultures, is the trickster. And he teaches humility and consequences of disobedience. The eagle is a spiritual messenger linking humans to the divine. The porcupine represents perseverance and clever problem solving. And the snake is a symbol of transformation and life cycles. So we know now that the Ute believe they have always lived in the Uinta Basin area. This is where they started, and this is where they still live. So let's look at the legend about the Uinta Basin from the Utes and the creation myth. Now, Sinoff and the magic bag is the tale that we're going to read here. And it says, the Utes trace their origins to Sinoff, a half-man, half-wolf deity who created humans by placing sticks in a magic bag. When Coyote peeked into the bag, most of the tribes escaped, leaving only the Utes at the bottom. Sinoff declared they would remain as stewards of their mountainous homeland. Now, unlike migration narratives of other tribes, Ute creation stories emphasize they have always existed within their ancestral lands, reinforcing their spiritual bond with the Uinta Basin. Now, one of the other legends of the area is about the Sleeping Ute Mountain. And it says, though located in Colorado, this legend resonates regionally. A wounded warrior god defeated evil forces, transforming into a mountain. His seasonal blankets, quote unquote, so snow and foliage, symbolize nature cycles and eventually and his eventual awakening will protect the Utes. One of the other legends that the Ute have about this land is skinwalkers.
Yep.
And we discussed skinwalkers a long time ago, it feels like.
Yep. And we did. And I know you're probably going to get into this. I don't want to step on anything, but it's interesting because skinwalkers are a Navajo thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a Ute thing. But I know you're going to get into that.
Well, but it became a Ute thing.
It did, yeah. It's really fascinating how they shared that. I don't even know if you can call it a legend anymore. There's so much evidence out there that this really
that
does
it's
happen.
True, yeah.
You know,
and you know that was a good setup for what I've got, because Matt was saying that the Ute kind of got this from the Navajo, and the reason they did was because during the 19th century, the Ute aided Kit Carson and the U.S. military in campaigns against the Navajo, which led to the Navajo Long Walk in 1864. Some accounts suggest this says that the Navajo retaliated by cursing Ute lands with skinwalkers as supernatural retribution.
Yeah.
So because the Ute worked against the Navajo put a curse on all Ute land. Because the Utes have always lived and always will live in the Uinta Basin in Utah, that's this area. It has always been this area, and it will always be this area that is cursed by skinwalkers. And Skinwalker Ranch that we talked about borders the Ute Reservation in the Uinta Basin. So if you look at the Ute Reservation, right next to it is Skinwalker Ranch. And the Ute will hang animal fur and skin on the fence line of the ranch to help keep the skinwalkers out of their reservation. So you're like, okay, they border each other. Yeah, they border each other. But there's a space that runs partially in Ute land, partially in Skinwalker Ranch in between, that they call the Skinwalker Corridor. Mm-hmm. Now, the Skinwalker Corridor refers to an area that's centered on and around Skinwalker Ranch that's widely believed by the Ute people and others in that area to be a pathway or a zone of heightened paranormal activity that's particularly associated with the presence of skinwalkers. So the corridor is not formally mapped on anything, but it's understood locally to include Skinwalker Ranch and adjacent areas in the Uinta Basin, especially near the border of the Ute Indian Reservation, like I was saying. So what is this corridor infamous for? Everything.
Yeah.
No.
That's about right.
Yeah. To be a little more specific, though, shape-shifting entities.
Yeah.
So skinwalkers, unexplained lights and UFOs, cattle mutilations, apparitions and cryptid sightings, and electronic malfunctions and unexplained illnesses. So this corridor seems to be the hub for all of the stuff that Matt is going to talk about. It emanates from this area called the Skinwalker Corridor, thanks to the curse from the Navajo.
Exactly. And, you know, paranormal sightings and strange objects appearing in the sky have been reported around the Uinta Basin since the first European explorers arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this goes back a long way. That's why I said, you know, the history is key to understanding this, because the Native American tribes that were there, they experienced it too. And,
right.
You know, even the early Europeans, they documented some of this stuff. In 1776, a Franciscan missionary named Silvestre Velez de Escalante wrote about these strange fireballs that appeared over his campfire in El Rey. And before the Europeans, as we said, the Native Americans who occupied the basin also talked about fiery objects in the sky. So, you know, we can go back so far and still hear stories about the strange occurrences in this area. So it's not a modern thing. you know, because a lot of people, when they start discussing UFOs and the history of all this, it goes back to like post-World War II.
Right.
I mean, that's when it all begins in the U.S. But in reality, we have information that something was up there hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not new. Us describing it, calling it a UFO, documenting it and publishing it, that's a more modern thing. But the events themselves are not.
Right.
And honestly, there is so much that's going on here. It's difficult to decide where to begin. So what I just had to just say, well, let's just jump in and start. And so
yeah.
let's start with our core, Adam. Let's start with ghosts.
Okay? All right. That's our bread and butter.
Yeah. So the old 2L Hospital. Now, this is a different kind of haunted experience. Now, this former hospital is now known for its terrifying haunted tours. And visitors report seeing spirits like the ghost of a little girl named Jessica. That'd be right up your alley.
Kid ghost, man.
It's as if the buildings hold on to the memories of those who once lived and died there. And they really offer that haunting memory of the past history. Now, part of the building operates as a haunted attraction now called Asylum 49.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be more spirits than just the ones that are paid to be there. The other half of the building has served as a home for the elderly. I don't know if that's really like a nursing home, an assisted living. Anyway, it's what
so.
We used to call an old folks home.
Yeah, okay? Right.
There's been many reports that have come from the hospital telling of an old man known as Wes. It's said that he was a patient at the elder care facility and that he suffered greatly from Alzheimer's. Now, at the time of his death, he was very confused and scared. And it's thought that this energy has carried over into death with him.
Mm.
So it's a heartbreaking realization that his spirit may not even understand that he's passed.
Yeah, that gets me.
Yeah.
Because I've dealt with family members with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And you do wonder if it sticks around after death, do they know? And
right.
what are they going through if they're still here? And that's fascinating, but kind of sad too.
Well, we've brought this up before. Cause we had a story, I don't know, about a year or so ago about the spirit of a young girl that haunted a theater. And there was another spirit of a young girl there that in life was this girl's friend.
Oh yeah.
But yep. The friend had lived a long life.
Mm-hmm.
And
80 something, I think.
Yeah. But in spirit, she goes back to childhood.
Right.
Strange. So it makes you wonder, are you who you were when you pass? Are you a different version of yourself?
Do you go to what you liked most, the time you liked most?
Exactly. So it would make you wonder, why would Wes still have those dementia type behaviors?
Right, true.
I think that speaks more to the stone tape of it may not be an intelligent haunting. You're seeing images of Wes that occurred while he was still alive.
And right. That's very possible.
The emotion behind it just left that mark on that building. Because if you have been, if you've been touched by dementia, with a family member, you know how emotional it is.
Yeah.
And you know that there's, a place where you have that much death and emotion and you push all that energy together, it leaves a mark. And I think that's probably what this is.
Yeah.
Now, at one point, a medium came to visit the facility thinking she was going to help Wes cross over. This is where it gets creepy, though. She stated that it was almost impossible as there was an extremely dark entity that was attached to him that was staying very close to his back. Like, there was another entity there that was preventing him from crossing over.
That's interesting.
So that's not another spirit. That's something right. else entirely.
Yeah, that's I'm very hesitant to say demonic.
Yeah.
Because everybody goes, oh, it's demonic. So I'm very hesitant to say that, but it, I don't know.
And if you've done any recent reading, watching on mediums and psychics, the demonic thing has become a hot button with this topic.
Mm-hmm.
That people that have psychic ability, they're not communing with the dead. They're actually communing with demons, and the right. demons are just tricking them into believing that they're a past spirit, or that they are, you know, their quote unquote spirit guide,
mm-hmm.
and they're communicating on their behalf. Because,
yep.
you know, as I've heard several people in interviews just in the last month say that these demons are smart, and they sure. watch and they listen and they learn more about you than you think. And you may have what you think is a private conversation, and that demon relays that information to the psychic. And now it appears that, how does this psychic know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they could have known that. You know, how would they know that about me? It's because the demon was there and
right.
and heard it, and or even read your thoughts and conveyed that to the, which that's terrifying to me, because we sure. have friends that are mediums.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be horrified to think if that is accurate.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think there's any way to know, but
no,
it is a hot theory right now.
Yeah. I've heard it before, and it's interesting that it's bubbling up to the surface now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard people say that is that you're being tricked.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there's no way to know.
And not just you. I mean, if you went to a psychic, you're not only the one being fooled. So is this psychic.
Right.
Because you,
right.
you've got this spirit guide that's claiming to be benevolent, which is actually a demon that's just using you for their own purpose, whatever that may be.
All right, y'all. So let's take a second and talk about the Crime Salad podcast. Now, if you're a fan of true crime that's both compelling and respectfully told, then you need to check out Crime Salad. Each week, husband and wife duo Ashley and Ricky dive deep into both well-known and lesser-covered cases, and they bring you well-researched, thoughtfully narrated stories, and they're driven by a mission to uncover the truth, amplify victims' voices, and advocate for justice.
Ashley and Ricky have been hosts of Crime Salad since 2018. Ashley is the main host, telling the story while Ricky listens and says what we're all thinking. Both driven by a mission to uncover truth, amplify victims' voices, and advocate for justice. And listeners love Crime Salad because of the deep research and the respectful storytelling. They have clear, engaging narration and high-quality audio production. It focuses both on lesser-known cases and the major cases that you've read about.
That's right. Listeners have said they handle every case with care and compassion, and that they're always looking forward to new episodes. And a couple of the cases that they've done recently are Justice for Sam Nordquist that's a story of betrayal, heartbreak, and community demanding justice, or Truth Behind the Headlines, the Natalie Grace case, then we think you're going to like Crime Salad.
Crime Salad is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast platforms.
Go check them out.
Now, the building itself once served as Samuel F. Lee's family home. So it's no surprise that people say that Samuel Lee haunts that facility as well. Now, in life, Mr. Lee contributed in many ways to the community, and his son Thomas, who has been estimated to be around 7 years old, is often seen lingering alongside of his father in the hospital. So his son, you know, also in spirit form, is there with him. And he says he's a playful spirit, and he enjoys having visitors, and he likes to play pranks on the visitors that come. But it is said that Samuel actually talks to visitors, and he tells them of all the good deeds that he did in life, like he wants some recognition that maybe he didn't get when he was alive.
Yeah.
But maybe the most interesting of all the hauntings is that of a nurse named Maria. Now, she is believed to guard a portal that has reportedly been seen at the facility. They've seen this portal.
That's crazy.
The portal is described as being extremely bright and formed as a way to direct the deceased of the building into the afterlife. Well, if there's going to be a portal like that, a nursing home would be the place it would be, right?
Yeah.
People.
I mean, it's a good place for it.
Yeah. People who have passed away at the elder care facility have reported seeing this portal a few days before their deaths.
Oh, wow.
But the nurse Maria warns them to avoid the portal and that the other side is dangerous. Well, that's even more terrifying.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
If you know you're dying, you don't want somebody coming up and go, don't go over there, man.
I'm like,
it's like, I don't have a choice.
This is it. Yeah. What choice do I have?
Yeah.
You know, you know, for the last 2 or 3 days of your life, you get to be scared of what's going to happen.
Yeah,
no.
Right. Exactly. Thanks, Maria.
Right. You know, shut up. Will somebody get her out of here?
Yeah, no kidding. Nurse.
She's harshing my vibe, man.
This one's causing me duress. Can you get her out of here?
There is a story of a man in black who was once seen entering the room of a patient. And the staff wondered who he was because it was late at night.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah. But one of the nurses decided they were going to follow him into that room because visiting hours were over. And that they were going to tell him, you know, look, you need to come back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But when she got to the door of that patient's room, it was locked. So she actually called over a couple of nurses trying to open it, and it wouldn't open. And so they struggled getting this door open for a while. And once they managed to pry it open and they went in the room, the man in black was nowhere to be found, and the patient had passed away. So, you know, who was this guy?
Right.
You know, was this a Reaper type entity? That's.
I think so.
Yeah. We're still talking about the same hospital.
I know.
That's in the town, in the basin.
This is only the first place, too.
this is a hospital that's in the town of Toole, and it's in the Uinta Basin, and this is all going on in one place.
You know what I just thought about is that Nurse Maria is a tool too.
Kinda. Quit spooking our people, man.
Right. Haven't you heard of rest in peace?
Yep.
Not rest in holy crap.
That's right. Oh, it's gonna suck so bad.
Yeah, right.
There's other entities that are said to haunt the facility, and they have names like Richard, James, Ned, Peter, and the young girl I mentioned before, Jessica. That's a lot of named spirits. That's, man,
a lot of people.
And these spirits like to make themselves known to staff and visitors through disembodied voices, cold touches, and full-on apparitions. man.
Cold touches.
Like, how haunted is this place? And right. then they're going to put a haunted right. house in it, in the other side of it, which is kind of weird to me, but yeah. whatever. It's a big building. The next place we're going to talk about is Moon Lake, which, as much as we have talked about weird lakes, we have not ever talked about Moon Lake. Now, Moon Lake yeah, is in the Uinta Mountains, and it is another area of paranormal sightings. Campers at Moon Lake have reported seeing the ghost of a young girl at the water's edge. Now, she appears in broad daylight, which is odd in and of itself.
Yeah.
And you might see her while you're walking through the woods around the lake or even sitting on the bank fishing. The little girl will come up to you crying, sobbing, and asking for help. And she will appear to be around 7 years old and soaking wet, almost as if she had fallen into the lake.
If I'm sitting fishing, I don't want this.
Right. Right. I'm trying to relax.
Right.
You know.
Why don't you go to one of the drunk boaters and talk to them? Let me sit here in peace and fish.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie The Man with One Red Shoe? You ever see it?
No.
It's an old Tom Hanks movie. But it's got before he was an Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Jim Belushi in it. And he's like his friend. Okay. Well, anyway, Tom Hanks is like mistaken for a spy. And and so all this stuff is happening around him. It's kind of a slapsticky thing. But Jim Belushi keeps running into dead bodies. And it's freaking him out because there's all these dead spies and stuff. And he keeps running.
Yeah.
And he's standing there. And the guy's like, look, just calm down. Nothing's going on. You're fine. And he's like, okay. And he's like, I gotta pee. And he's like, okay, go pee. And so he's standing in the bathroom and he's standing there just like trying to calm down. And you hear the toilet, you know, the water splashing. And then the door to the bathroom kind of swings closed. And there's a dead guy hanging from a hook, you know, on the back. And he looks at the camera and goes, oh, come on. And that's what
yeah,
I
exactly.
thought. And like when you said that, like this little girl walks up, you're trying to fish. Relax, mm-hmm. have a day off, and here comes this little wet girl ghost, and you're like, yep. Oh, come on.
Not on my day off.
I don't want to deal with this now. But people have reported having encounters with this little girl, and they say that when they go to her for help, she disappears right before their eyes.
Ugh.
Now, the legend is that this is the spirit of a girl that drowned in the lake decades ago.
Of course.
And some people say they don't see her, but they definitely hear her crying for help, and they hear loud splashing out on the lake.
You know what that sounds like? Sounds like water babies.
Yes, you did a good job. you saw where this was going. Other stories say that this is the crying of a water baby.
Which is
an entity that lures children to the water's edge and then pulls them under the water to keep its company.
We did an episode talking about them, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about water babies. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So part of the legend is that this spirit is not that of a little girl. It is an actual water baby, and this is how they lure people in. And that water baby legend goes all the way back to the natives that lived in that area. So mm-hmm. the indigenous people, they believe that this is some entity that is associated with that lake.
Yeah.
They have another creepy legend about Moon Lake. Now, this revolves around the funeral ceremony for a dead chief. Now, as the canoe with the body and the chanting medicine men floated out to the middle of the lake for the water burial, a giant hand reaches up from the depths and encloses around the boat, pulling it and all of its contents under the water.
Nope. Nope,
there were
like
no survivors, No boat wreckage was ever found, and to this day, many Native Americans will steer clear of Moon Lake.
Yeah, I would after hearing something like that.
But the most well-known legend of Moon Lake is that of the Moon Lake Monster, nicknamed Mooney. How have we not talked about Mooney? I mean,
I don't
seriously,
know.
Isn't that crazy? As I many know. Lake monsters as we've talked about, and we've not we talked did a about whole, Mooney.
We did a whole Lake Monster month
I know.
Many moons
I know.
Ago.
And we never, I never found this one.
No, I never ran into it either.
Now, visitors to Moon Lake have allegedly reported sightings of the monster over the years. During a family reunion, one witness described a figure resembling a log with a fin that appeared to follow their boat. It had scales visible as water moved around it. And another account referred to the creature as, quote, black, ugly, and bumpy. Sounds like a monster to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a normal creature description.
Exactly. It's not something you typically hear.
Well.
Now, Gary Sutherland, who's a former owner of the Moon Lake Resort, claimed that sightings typically occur during calm, windless conditions in the early morning or evening. Witnesses have reported seeing a V-shaped ripple caused by a rounded object just below the surface. Sounds a lot like Nessie sightings.
Yeah.
In 1994, Bill Reardon stated that he observed such a ripple through binoculars and described it as moving steadily and zigzagging across the lake. Now, Reardon claimed that he ruled out logs or any known animals as the cause. You know, so he could not explain what he was seeing. Other reports describe Mooney as being a serpent-like creature, and one resident states that stories about the monster are well known in the area and compares it to Loch Ness.
Yeah.
So, you know, that again, I don't understand how we never came across this, but you know, the Uinta Mountains have their own Loch Ness monster.
You know, there's just so much that is unexplained in this world that I don't think we'll ever run across all of.
Right. And
so,
you know, and they say that Moon Lake is extraordinarily deep. I didn't get any real numbers, but the Native Americans thought it was bottomless. It was so deep. You know, so you combine these kind of legends that go on for decades, and then you add, you know, a large lake that's very, very deep, and you get a situation almost identical to Loch Ness.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny. I messaged Adam. I heard about this today. I messaged Adam. There is a Scottish whiskey company that has sunk barrels of whiskey to the bottom of Loch Ness, 700 feet deep. And they're aging it down there. They put them down there in February of this year. And, you know, when they pull it up, and they what they're hoping is that it will the weird brackish type water that occurs in Loch Ness will somehow enhance the flavor of the whiskey. I was like, and Nessie P and all kinds of stuff down there.
Mm-hmm. Nessie's gonna be getting drunk.
That's it. Yeah. Nessie coming up going, hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, this is how we're going to prove Nessie. Because she's going to get so drunk that she's going to reveal herself.
That's right. Now, you cannot discuss the strange happenings in the Uinta Basin without talking about UFO sightings. And you can't talk about UFO sightings in the basin without talking about Skinwalker Ranch.
That's true.
Now, the Uinta Basin, as I said, has always been home to strange tales of weird lights, sounds, visions. In the 1950s, a man named Joseph Junior Hicks was a local high school teacher, he began cataloging people's stories of their experiences in the basin. And along with Dr. Frank Salisbury, Hicks published a book on the subject in 1974.
Hello, lover of things that go bump in the night. This is Dan Cummins.
And I'm Lindsay Cummins.
And we co-host the paranormal horror podcast, Scared to Death. Are shadow people real? What about demonic possessions? Poltergeist activity? Do you believe in ghosts? Malevolent entities? Are aliens real? Could you be abducted?
We don't know, but what we do know is that we have over 230 episodes of stories on our podcast, Scared to Death, exploring all of the possibilities.
Each week, we share several supposedly true stories that have been gathered from around the world and submissions from our own fans of allegedly true tales.
Curious about the paranormal? Just like a spooky story? Do you need more fear to fuel you through your long work days?
Come join us. New episodes of Scared to Death are released every Tuesday night. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you end up scared to death.
Sightings of strange creatures and UFOs continued in this area, and then the mythology just stuck. Okay. He collected all these stories, he published the book, and so you pretty much just, you know, hammered it in. You know, it's never leaving. You know, we've got so much information, we can publish a book. And it's lasted for all this time.
Now it's in the zeitgeist.
Yeah. Decades later, things really came to a head when ranchers Terry and Gwen Sherman bought this property in 1994. And they documented in the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, the Shermans alleged that their cows were mutilated with surgical precision in broad daylight, and that their family was hunted by strange aerial objects and floating orbs of light.
Uh-huh.
They heard disembodied voices. They experienced poltergeist activity. They witnessed horrible monsters emerging from portals. They even claimed that they encountered a wolf that, when they shot it several times with a high-powered rifle at point-blank range, it did not die.
Yep, it looked at him, flipped on the bird, and
laughed. Pretty much. I mean, it didn't phase it.
Right.
Now, the story of what was going on at Sherman Ranch went public in 1996. And that year, the Shermans sold Skinwalker Ranch to billionaire Robert Bigelow. Now, Bigelow's National Institute for Discovery Science and Bigelow Advanced Aerospace Space Studies, that's almost redundant.
Yeah, it really is.
It's BASS.
It's like, well, yeah, they did NIDS.
Yeah.
So they would have to have an acronym for that one. So you're right, BASS.
Yeah. Well, I mean, couldn't they left out the extra space and just been aerospace studies?
Yeah.
I guess it would have been BASS.
Absolutely could have, but.
You know. But Bigelow's group spent more than 20 years studying the strange anomalies that apparently occurred on this property. Now, the thing about it, though, is Bigelow was pretty tight-lipped about all this stuff. They weren't sharing any of their research, any of their discoveries, nothing. They were there. They were private. You know, nothing was really coming out. A lot of speculation was what was coming out. But Bigelow's group wasn't sharing any of this information. So in 2016, real estate magnate Brandon Fugel bought the ranch from Bigelow, and he continues the research today, much of which is documented in the series, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
I would love to have him on.
Yeah.
And talk to
Brandon,
him on the show.
Travis Taylor, any of those guys.
Any of them.
You know, they're... This is one of those shows. It sucks you in. If the stories behind Skinwalker Ranch are fascinate you like they do Adam and I, watching this show, I mean, it pulls you in, because when you look at the pedigrees that these researchers have, and the amount of money that Brandon Fugel has pumped into this thing, when you listen to him talk, you realize that these guys are out there trying to learn this stuff, but they're scared. Yeah. I mean, they don't go to work like, what we going to do today? No. I mean, there has been so much bizarre stuff happen that's documented on the show, and I get it. It's television. But you don't have 20-some-odd years of research going into this. All of these stories of stuff that weird that's happened. And then continue that research and begin to video document it and then put it out on television without some of it being legit. And the thing is, you know, you're looking at the same data that they look at, the weather patterns, the electromagnetic fields that are there, these weird RF spikes that, I mean, they're out in the middle of there are no cell towers out there, but they get these weird spikes, you know, that you would think they were in a giant circle of cell towers.
Well, and when they took the helicopter up and they were trying to film or record what was happening, they dropped sensors. And the point was to get the data from the helicopter to the ground because they thought they were dropping it through some vortex something.
That weird, like almost like ceiling. That electromagnetic ceiling, yeah.
And so they drop it. It goes down. They're watching it, and then it disappears. And the tracking data can't find it. They find it later on the other side of the mesa.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that people are going, yeah, but it's a TV show. They can fake all that. Yeah, they could. But, I mean, I've heard so much about Skinwalker Ranch that I don't think they have to fake stuff.
I agree. I mean, of all the shows like this you see, this one seems the most real. Now, I realize the way it's produced and presented is going to be the most dramatic way.
Yes,
but it does not necessarily mean that it's not accurate, that they're not sharing real information. And look, do some research on Brandon Fugel. I mean, this guy didn't get to be a billionaire by blowing money. Okay?
Right.
He didn't. So if 2017, 2018 comes by and nothing's happening and this is all a bunch of baloney, do you think he would still be pumping money into the research of this place?
Yeah, exactly.
Does not present himself as that type of person. He does not present himself as somebody that would be involved in a hoax. And furthermore, the people that he has recruited to come in there and research also are not, I don't care how much money
Travis Taylor.
Throw at these guys. They are, I mean, at some point one of them's going to go, all right, I'm out. I'm not going to be involved in fooling people anymore.
He's got a reputation.
Exactly.
Travis Taylor has a reputation to uphold as a serious scientist. And if stuff isn't going, I mean, he works with the government, you know, so he's not gonna blow all that reputation just for a silly show.
No way.
If there wasn't crazy stuff happening.
Yeah, no way. Now, for nearly 30 years, reports of otherworldly encounters come out of the ranch. And one in particular occurred on the night of March 12, 1997. This was after the ranch had been sold by the Shermans. Biochemist Colm Keller was working with Bigelow's National Institute for Discovery Science when he claimed to see a large humanoid creature spying on the research team from a tree. Now, he details his story in Hunt for the Skinwalker, which is a great book. You know, you need to check it out. If you like this, you'll love this book. The creature was approximately 50 yards away, and he was watching the team from the safety of a tree perch about 20 feet off the ground. So, Keller says the large creature lay motionless almost casually in the tree. The only indication of the beast's presence was the penetrating yellow light of the unblinking eyes as they stared fixedly back into the light. Now, that's a quote from Colm Keller. So, what did Keller do? Well, he shot at it.
He took a
rifle and he fired at the creature and it disappeared. He said, it was then that I saw it. A single obvious oval track about 6 inches in diameter embedded deeply in a patch of snow. It looked unusual. A single large print in the snow with two sharp claws protruding from the rear of the mark going a couple inches deeper. It almost looked like a bird of prey, maybe like a raptor print, but huge and from the depth of the print from a very heavy creature.
So not only
did they witness this, they actually saw physical evidence of its presence.
Yeah.
Now, repeated sightings of human-like creatures have led some to use the name Skinwalker, which is, like we said, a shape-shifting character from the Navajo tribal folklore. And among the Navajo, Skinwalkers are like werewolves, evil witches who can transform themselves into creatures of their choosing. And, you know, jump on YouTube and look up skinwalkers, okay?
Yeah,
you're going to see actual footage of people with their dogs. They're like, this is not my dog. My dog is over there. And you see this scared-looking dog, and here's an identical dog acting weird, you know, in somebody's house. There are tons of those.
I know.
I mean, tons.
It is terrifying. Yeah. Terrifying.
Like we said, look, there has been so much collected and talked about with skinwalkers. It's hard to say that it is a Navajo legend anymore. You know, that there is a possibility that there are people that figured out how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the UFO sightings go, they range from everything from strange lights in the sky to reports of seeing actual crafts hovering in the sky right above the ranch. The Sherman specifically reported clearly seeing several types of UFOs. Small, boxy ones, big 40-foot UFOs, and huge crafts that were bigger than football fields. And if you recall, was it Stardust Ranch? They described one of these gigantic football field sized ships as well.
That's just terrifying. And I know I've said that a few times, but it's true.
But if you look, a lot of the witnesses from the Phoenix Lights say similar things, that these craft that they were able to make out were enormous. And that's the descriptor, about the size of a football field, 100 yards long.
Yeah, mothership type things.
Now, they claimed, the Shermans, this is, one of the crafts emerged from a glowing orange orb that looked like a doorway or a portal, and some of them emitted red light. Gwen Sherman claimed that a flying light followed her all the way home once. Now, other strange sightings have occurred directly next door at Bottle Hollow, which is a 420-acre man-made reservoir on Ute land abutting the ranch, which was filled with fresh water in 1970 by a federal mandate. In 1998, a police officer saw a large light plunge into the reservoir and then reemerge and then fly off into the night sky. I mean, that's like what we saw the Tic Tac thing do.
Yeah. Yep.
One night in 2002, four young men standing on the reservoir shoreline saw a blue-white ball enter the artificial lake. Okay.
We've heard a lot come out lately of these balls of light, like different UFO sightings as just balls of light. And I wonder if that's a drone type thing, like reconnaissance drone.
You know what I think is funny about the balls of light? You remember back when ball lightning was like, it's probably not real.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now they talk about ball lightning on the Weather Channel. Like it's just, this is ball lightning.
We did a Patreon on it. And when we did a Patreon, a lot of people were like, you know, all the scientists were like, no, there's no way that a ball of plasma could exist like that, whatever. And you and I both said, no, I think it could. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe that it could. And now, yeah, they're going, oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's probably true.
Well, and I think we don't have a better explanation other than, you know, extraterrestrial craft that are these balls of light. So now ball lightning looks really good. At mm-hmm, least we can say that it's a natural phenomenon. Okay. Because mm-hmm. we sure as hell can't say it's aliens, you know? Right. So, okay. Yeah. Ball lightning's real. You know, it's like 20 years ago, you thought it was a myth, but now that people have actually seen these weird balls of light flying around, oh, it's real now because God forbid we say it's aliens.
UFO. Yeah right.
According to The Hunt for the Skinwalker, the glowing ball that these four men saw dove into the water just a few feet from the shore and then emerged seconds later in a new form. It was a shimmering, maneuverable, belt-shaped shaft of light. They said after performing a brief, writhing aerial dance, the belt of light zipped away at a high rate of speed, hugging the ground before disappearing below the top of Skinwalker Ridge. Now,
what would the belt be?
I don't know. Something different, you know. Mm-hmm. It changed shape because it had something else it had to do.
Right, yeah.
Continued cattle mutilations are common, too, and some neighbors have reported seeing cows that appear to have been struck by lightning with no sign of scorched earth to be found. That's the thing. If a cow happened to get struck by lightning, there would be evidence all around that cow. I mean, it's not just going to hit the cow and nothing else. It's going to go right through it into the ground. You're going to see evidence that lightning struck the ground, but they're saying these cows just look like they've been just, you know, roasted, electrocuted and nothing else.
Huh.
One group shared a story of trying to spot UFOs one night and they returned to find that their car had been moved without a trace of tire tracks in the desert sand. Yeah, like it had been picked up and set over somewhere else.
That's so weird.
Don't do that. Don't move my car.
No.
Dude, where's my car? Now, over the last year, several strange cases of extreme electromagnetic fields have been logged on the ranch. This is what we're talking about with the researchers that are there now. According to the reports, these electromagnetic fields are transient. So they come and go and they move around and they have at times reached levels that are dangerous to humans. According to the ranch team, several times in the last few years, people on the ranch have become ill and even required hospitalization. Now, Thomas Winterton, now this is in like the first season of Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. Thomas Winterton was hospitalized with a life-threatening subglial fluid collection with associated subcalivarial inflammation, which, you know, if you don't understand what that is, it's swelling in the brain and a collection of fluid between the skull and the scalp. So it's not in the skull pushing on the brain. It's like between that skin right there on the top of your head. So it's like a bubble, you know?
Yeah.
And the team believed that this occurred when he attempted to dig on the ranch. That's documented in the show.
Yep.
Now, this guy on the show, he cracks me up, but his name is Bryant Arnold, and he goes by the nickname Dragon. He's a character, man. I'm telling you.
I do not like that nickname.
He's an oddball, but he serves as the ranch's head of security. And he says that initially, he didn't believe any of this stuff. He thought he was taking a job. You know, he was there to provide security for all these researchers that are there. He's like, easy gig.
He'll
tell you real quick, I'm not a PhD. I'm not a physicist. I'm none of this. He's like, I'm a security expert, and that's what I'm here to do. But he's had a few personal experiences that may have changed his mind. Arnold says on one night, he was in one of the bedrooms in the ranch house. He's like, I'm lying down trying to get to sleep, and then all of a sudden, bam, something slams into my bed. He said, it's like when your kids jump into bed with you or someone big need the bed, you know? He said, I sit up and turn on the lights and nothing's there.
That'll make you wet the bed. I wouldn't sleep. Yeah. I wouldn't sleep the rest of the night.
I'm not sleeping there, that's for sure.
Right, right.
He also recalls that when they first started filming for The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, he says, quote, we all saw it. We were looking at the west field, and there it was. I thought it was a drone for a second because I try to rationalize everything. It was just hovering there. And he says, while he's telling this story, he says, I don't think I can talk about this. It sounds insane, and all the sensors we had were going crazy. You know, they never did figure out what it was. But they all saw something. Now, Thomas Winterton, who we mentioned before, he's had multiple experiences outside of just his mysterious illness. He recalls a time in 2016 where he's going up to one of the old homesteads to investigate a disturbance. Like, early on, there were some caretakers that lived there. It was an older couple, and Bigelow let them live there. So when Fugle took over, they were still there, and they hung out. They called in and said that it sounded like somebody. Thomas Winterton says that there was a basketball that used to sit out on their porch, like an old basketball. And he said it sounded like somebody was picking up that basketball and throwing it off of the side of the house, like boom, 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 boom.
That's weird.
And so they called him. And so he's driving up there to see what the heck's going on, thinking that, okay, some kids have got out here. But he goes up to the old buildings and he says he hears an audible voice say, stop, turn around. He said that completely freaked him out.
Yeah.
So, but when it happened, he said he finally was able to just rationalize it, and he chalked it up to his mind just playing tricks on him. He was scared. He was nervous, and he heard that, and it kind of made him freak out. But it happened again 6 months later. And he says another time after that, it happened again while downloading backups of video in the command center. He and his wife, Melissa, reported a strange noise in one of the back bedrooms. So they went back there and investigated, but they didn't find anything. So when they returned to the computers, they heard the voice again. He said, as audible as if someone was standing right between us. Leave now, the voice said.
Mm.
And Thomas and Melissa stared at one another like, what the heck was that? And then they heard it again, and it said, you need to leave now. And they said, so they didn't even hesitate. They bolted and went out to their truck. And that's when the cell phone batteries drained. They couldn't get in touch with anybody. You know, imagine, you're freaking out. Now, these are just some of the stories that have happened on Skinwalker Ranch. And some of these, you can go back and you can see them. They'll talk about them on the show. Some of these are not from the show. You know, some of these are just documented from interviews and whatnot, but you got to understand, this is a large portion of the Uinta Basin, and it seems to be the core of whatever is going on. And it just leaches out, you know, throughout that whole region, you know, into the little towns and counties that surround that area. And they're trying, but nobody really understands why. But one thing we do know is that this is not new. This kind of stuff has been there for a long time. We're just now at a point where we can investigate it scientifically and try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And with all the scientists, with all the brilliant minds that have spent time in the basin and at Skinwalker Ranch, they look at data that just absolutely boggles the mind. You know, it just, they cannot come up with an explanation as to what in the world is going on. And the experiences keep occurring and people keep reporting UFOs and skinwalkers and weird creatures, shapeshifters, you know, hauntings, all of that. It's all going on out there.
Yep.
So, you know, in one of the episodes of the show, you know, Travis Taylor says it. He says, based on all of this information, what does this look like? All of this data, what does it look like? Wormhole. He said, that's, you know, theoretically, this is what the data would look like if there was a wormhole right here above this ranch. And if it is, it's a super highway for all of this other stuff to come in and out.
Yep. And that made me think of, they have apparently had government helicopters fly over a few times, checking out what they're doing. So if it is a wormhole and the government has wind of it, of course they're going to want to investigate themselves, because why not take advantage of it if there's some way to take advantage
of
it?
And, you know, I mean, a lot of what Bigelow did was funded by the government.
Yeah.
You know, so they are extraordinarily interested, but I don't think they know either.
No.
Because I think
if they knew, they wouldn't.
It'd be like Area 51. It'd be shut down. Yep. There'd be nobody there. If they were there, they wouldn't be allowed to talk about it. They sure as hell wouldn't have a TV show.
Yeah, they wouldn't let Fugel own it if they knew what it was. They would own it.
So, you know, I mean, who knows? They may figure out what's going on and we may not ever hear it. You know, if that show just up and cancels, you stop hearing from Fugel and Taylor and Winterton and all these people, and all of a sudden it's like, they're off the radar, then you know
they figured it out. Yep.
The government said, nope.
Yep.
Thanks. We appreciate it. Get out. Don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure would be a shame if something happened to you, you know? But, I mean, it is crazy. And, you know, if you read about UFO research, it'll tell you, if you want to do this, if you want to experience something, go to the Western United States. That's where it is. You know, we just talked about New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and especially Utah. Go out there. That's where the action is. I mean, our friend Derek Hayes goes out there and he's like, we're out in the California desert and all this crazy stuff's happening. We're seeing black helicopters following us and all this stuff. It's all out there. So if this is your bag, head west, young man.
Yeah, right. Have fun.
But, you know, what do you guys think? I mean, do you buy into Skinwalker Ranch? What do you think about all these other stories? Like I said, we're barely scratching the surface of what's going on in Utah. Let us know. You know, if you're a Utah resident and you've heard these stories, you've probably heard ones that we haven't.
Let us know.
And a great place to do that is in our Facebook group. It is called The Graveyard. We love it when people come in and share their personal experiences. It's just fascinating. Nobody's going to make fun of you. We just want to hear your cool story. Don't forget to check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. There you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. I was just in the store the other day. We've got some pretty cool looking stuff out there, guys, and we've got some more that's going to be coming up very shortly. So be sure and go check it out. But you can also listen to the show from the website, and that is where you can sign up to become a patron and get access to that catalog of bonus episodes. You get video of the episodes. You get side quests for our $10 members. There's just a ton of stuff. I mean, we have made it a great bang for your buck. I promise you will not be disappointed. So go check it out. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
About Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.